bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you so much for joining us again as we continue our journey of creating a just society right where you are. Appreciate your faithfulness to this podcast. I enjoy presenting it. I hope you enjoy hearing it, but not only that, but as James encourages us in the scriptures to not just hear, but to do something about it. And I do know that you're doing something about it because I hear it in your emails. Keep bringing those emails on. The announcer at the end will give you the email address so that you can continue to email me. I love your feedback. Doesn't always have to be positive. I love your feedback, but also appreciate just hearing the stories of what you are doing. And I know a lot of you are getting it done out there and bringing about justice to the world. Today, we're going to reflect on the readings of the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now, this is in the Catholic Church that follows a three-year cycle. So the readings are different at Mass each Sunday, depending on which year it is. And this year, the 26th week in Ordinary Time, which is the year 2025 or year C, I was captured. Now, at the time of this recording, we're now into the 31st week in Ordinary Time, but 5 weeks ago, as I sat in Mass and heard the scriptures read, I was struck by the magnitude of what was being said. And I just was like, how do we get to this place as humans? How did we miss this? And the three scripture reading, or Amos, the scripture reading from Amos, scripture reading from the gospel, and then I'm reflecting on an additional reading from Ezekiel as well. I'm just like, how do we miss this? And, you know, you have those times where something just hits you deep. You know what I mean? You read something, you hear something, and it just causes you to stop and reflect. And that's what happened. In the 26th week in Ordinary Time at Mass, I was just struck. I was like, how did we miss this? How do we get to this point as humans? And what is the problem in these scriptures that is pointed out to us? It is complacency, laziness, an absolute uncaring attitude towards the injustices that we see in our day. So we're going to start by reading from the prophet Amos. And Amos, in Amos 6, 1 through 7, I'll read it here. It says, Amos, the prophet, says to the people, "Woe to you who are complacent in Zion, and to you who feel secure on Mount Samaria, you notable men of the foremost nation to whom the people of Israel come. Go to Kalna and look at it. Go from there to the great Hamath, and then go down to Gath and Philistia. Are they better off than your two kingdoms? Is their land larger than yours? You put off the day of disaster and bring near a reign of terror. You lie on beds adorned with ivory and lounge on your couches. You dine on choice lambs and fattened calves. You strum away on your harps like David and improvise on musical instruments. You drink wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph." "Therefore, you will be among the first to go into exile. Your feasting and lounging will end." Does this sound familiar? Does the picture that's painted by the prophet Amos sound like modern day culture? A day of just sipping wine, taking it easy, watching TV, lounging on your couch, doing nothing good for the world. And that's really what's going on here with the prophet Amos. He's just like, you people in Israel don't get the fact that disaster is about to happen. Your sins have caught up to you. things are about to collapse, and yet you just lounge on your couches, sip wine, play music, chill out, check out. And you know, that chilling out, that's kind of the mantra of today's society, isn't it? Just chill out when somebody gets excited or whatever. But that, and that's why we, you know, we have songs from the 80s. We've got that song, Everybody's Working for the Weekend. Why? Everybody's working their jobs Monday through Friday so they can hurry up and get to Saturday and Sunday and just what? Chill out. So the prophet Amos warns us against that kind of an attitude, the kind of attitude that there are people going hungry, like literally people who are suffering deep, deep bodily pains because they are literally starving to death with no access to food. There are people who are suffering from cancer, suffering from all kinds of diseases. There's people suffering in war zones, people losing their loved ones, their houses being bombed, innocent people. There's people being driven out of their countries. There's people being tortured in prison. I mean, all kinds of injustices in the world. And yet the prophet Amos says, while all of this sadness and destruction, darkness is happening all around you, you just sip wine by the bowlful and use the finest lotions. You get your massages. You play music and improvise on music. You eat and dine on the choicest lambs and fattened calves. And then he says in verse 6, but you do not grieve over the ruin of Joseph. Therefore, you'll be the first to go into exile. Yeah, I've read on social media a lot lately that people who are upset with the current administration and their attitude and their treatment of the immigrants, and even their treatment of citizens for that fact. And some people on social media are commenting saying, don't forget, in Nazi Germany, there was the Nuremberg trials afterwards. They're kind of saying the same thing as Amos is, hey, pay attention to how you're treating people, because as Amos says, you'll be the first one to go down if you continue to sin against God and continue to sin against your fellow humans. What Amos is trying to bring about to us is that to live this life of eating the finest foods, sipping the finest wines, lounging, getting all these massages day after day, doing nothing for those who are suffering, Amos is reminding us you'll be the first one to get taken down, because God doesn't play around. God does not mess around. It is a serious matter that God commands us to feed the hungry, to take in the homeless, to take in the immigrant, to visit those in prison, to visit the sick. On and on it goes. God takes it serious, and when we fail to love our brothers and sisters, then through the prophet Amos and other prophets and modern-day prophets, God reminds us, there's going to come a day when you're going to go down. And it's sad to think that we could be so lazy, so complacent, so uncaring. And so I challenge you. This week, ask yourself, well, do this. Rather than asking yourself something, examine yourself kind of as a third person. Observe yourself this week and ponder, how complacent have I been this week? How many times did I just veg out in front of the television when I could have been out on the streets serving the suffering? How many times did I post something stupid and post something shallow on social media when I should have been posting something that really takes us to the core as human beings? How often did I do something lazy and complacent when instead I should have been busy about creating that just society? How many times have I ignored my neighbors this week out of pure laziness and complacency instead of really investing in their lives, finding out what's going on? Now, the second scripture reading from the 26th week in ordinary time is from Luke 16, a familiar passage to a lot of us. It's about Jesus telling us the story of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, you've got the, it says, Luke 16, verse 19, there was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. And the time came that they both died. Jesus tells us the story that the beggar was carried up into heaven or Abraham's bosom, where he was comforted, and the rich man found himself waking up in hell and great suffering. Why? Because of his complacency, because of his failure to feed the beggar at his gate. In fact, Jesus kind of gives us the picture that even the wild dogs were holier than this rich man, because at least they licked the beggar's sores and the dogs tried to soothe the rich man's pain. How pathetic is it when you and I get to a point where we are so corrupted in our soul that even a dog is better than us in serving God and the poor? And yet, what was it? Jesus paints the picture of this contrast between a rich man who was dressed in purple. He had it easy. He had an easy life. He ate the finest foods. He just lived in ease. But like in Amos's day, he was complacent. And the contrast is this beggar at his gate who would just like to even have a crumb of bread. He was so hungry. And Jesus doesn't tell us that this rich man even needed to go out to the streets and needed to go out to a homeless camp. Jesus is showing this beggar was right there at his gate. And I would say the beggars are still not far away from us. They're still laying at our gates. You see the brother or sister on the sidewalk as you drive by living in a tent, or who are bent over from fentanyl, or who you drive by the hospitals and you fail to remember that you are commanded to stop and park in the parking lot of the hospital, go in and visit the sick. You hear stories of people going to prison and you forget it is my duty to go visit those in prison. All these things, the beggars are still laying at our gates, and we do nothing, absolutely nothing, to meet their needs. We've got people in desperate financial situations who need food benefits, and the government cuts off those food benefits, and we do nothing. And the beggars are laying at our gate, wishing to just have a morsel of bread. And so what I'm trying to drive at this week is that we have allowed ourselves to become so lazy, so uncaring, and so, might I say it, so pathetic, that it doesn't even bother us anymore, that there are people who are literally suffering, and they're laying at our gates. They're laying on the sidewalks as we drive past them, and we don't even care. We don't even care anymore. And so, again, Amos shows us that there's an outcome to that. You can't stay complacent forever. You cannot stay complacent forever. You have to suffer a consequence, an outcome, and the outcome is you'll be the first to go down in exile. Now, Jesus then also follows the same pattern as Amos and shows us you'll be suffering after death while the beggars we should have been feeding are comforted in God's presence. In fact, James tells us in the letter to James, of James in the New Testament of the Bible, he says, he confronts the people who during their worship gatherings, during the Mass, they had the rich sitting at the high up places, and they made, back when they gathered in people's houses, and they would have the poor laying on the floor. And James says that is a scandal. And why is that a scandal? Because James says, because God has chosen the poor to be rich in faith. Therefore, they should be the honored ones. And by the way, Catholic social teaching, that is one of the tenets of Catholic social teaching, is preferential option for the poor. That means the poor always get first consideration. Now, taking all of that together, we move on to a third. Now, this is not part of the scripture readings in ordinary time, but I wanted to add it here because it speaks to our situation. Now, most of us are familiar with the destruction of the two cities in Abraham's day, Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, the question I want to ask you is, why was Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed? Why were they destroyed? Now, most people that I ask that question to will tell me they were destroyed because of the sin of homosexuality. However, I'm going to propose to you that that is not why they were destroyed. Because in Ezekiel 16, because the story of Sodom and Gomorrah is not just in the book of Genesis, it's also in Ezekiel's prophecy. And why were they destroyed? Well, in Ezekiel 16, we are told that the reason for that is nothing to do with sexual perversion, but rather for a much deeper reason. It says in Ezekiel 16:49, God is about to judge the nation of Israel. And in this judgment, God's trying to show the people of Israel all the reasons why he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says, and this is one of the things that's always fascinated me with Ezekiel 16. I encourage you to read the whole chapter sometime. But in Ezekiel 16, God says, the things that Sodom and Gomorrah did, you as the nation of Israel are twice as guilty. You have done twice the sin that Sodom and Gomorrah did. That is quite the judgment. But in Ezekiel 16, verse 49, God tells Israel very explicitly why he destroyed them. He said, now this was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. I'll read that again. This was the sin of your sister Sodom. She and her daughters were arrogant, overfed, and unconcerned. They did not help the poor and needy. That's a far cry from the answer I usually get from people. In America, where I live, America, I would say, is 100 times more guilty than Sodom in this regard, because we are arrogant. We are so full of pride. I'm an American, proud to be an American. We're even told that in our new national anthem from Lee Greenwood, right? Proud to be an American. So we're arrogant. We think we're the best. We think we're awesome. Donald Trump has not helped the cause at all. He's driven us further into pride. We are definitely overfed. We have too much food in America. We are unconcerned. We just don't care. We do not care that the people in Sudan are suffering at the hands of a dictator. In fact, we don't care so much that we're sending immigrants to Sudan. I cannot believe that this is happening, but our government is sending, deporting immigrants to Sudan. That's a hellhole right now. We do not care that there's people in northern Kenya who are skeletons because they're starving in the pains of starvation. We do not care that we get our cups of coffee in America because the land in the Amazon jungle has been stripped bare of its trees, and therefore the local people in the Amazon region are struggling because their land has been stripped clean by the coffee companies, the major American coffee companies. We do not care that all of our packaging is causing deep problems to the earth, but not in our country. The corporations take all of our thrown away cell phones, our thrown away milk jugs, all these things, and they dump it on the beaches and mountains of our garbage dumped on the beaches in Africa, and therefore it causes disastrous health problems for African nations and other nations, not just Africa. But we don't care. We're unconcerned. Just as long as I can have my convenience, as long as everything's okay for me and I can have my little nice house in the suburbs, I don't care. And God said that was the sin of Sodom. Sodom had become so arrogant, so overfed, that they didn't care. And then God ends that verse by saying they did not help the poor and needy. And it's interesting, as I see the SNAP benefits coming to an end, and people will go hungry, and people say, well, these are people that don't, you know, they should be working for their food. No, I know a lot of old widows who need those SNAP benefits. I know a lot of very people who are working hard but can't make ends meet who need those benefits. But what do? We don't care for them. We don't feed them. We judge them. Do you not realize the grave sin before God it is to judge the poor and the needy? God said the reason why I sent sulfur down and literally eliminated the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah is because they did not help the poor and needy. Think about that for a minute. That's what they did. And because they failed to help the poor and needy, God literally eliminated them as cities on the earth. That's how serious it is to God. And so the stuff I do on this podcast is no joke. I take this very seriously. And I don't just take it seriously sitting behind a microphone talking to you. No, I do it in my personal life. I get out to the streets. I help people in need day after day after day. Why? Because God takes it serious. And God tells us in places like Matthew 25, there are eternal consequences, or there are also eternal rewards, based on whether we obey this command or not, to feed the hungry, to welcome the stranger, to visit those in prison, to visit the sick, to feed the hungry, to give clothes to the naked. I don't know what else to say, but as I was in Mass on the 26th Sunday in Ordinary Time, I just was struck by these scriptures. Like, how did we miss this so bad? We are so... In America, and that's the context I can speak from, we are so far down the road of sin because of being overfed, arrogant, unconcerned, and failing. Not only failing to take care of the poor and needy, we are judging the poor and needy as being less than us. God have mercy on us. And we are truly complacent now. I'm amazed at how many people are just unmoved by the deep truths that I speak on the sufferings of others. I share on a consistent basis with others the details of how people are suffering, and people just don't care. It seems that less and less people just don't care that others are suffering, at least in the Christian realm. It is sad that the greatest compassion for the suffering are atheistic liberals, really. I think here in my hometown of Portland, Oregon, I see more compassion from atheists oftentimes than I do from Christians. Now, I'm going to be doing an episode on this phenomenon, so there's a lot of details I left out on that statement just now, but I will be doing an episode on the details of that phenomenon. But I am amazed at how even I can see something myself on the news that is causing such human suffering, and I can be unmoved by it. I just hear the story of suffering and let it pass on by. May God have mercy on us. May God give us the grace to be moved to compassion as we witness the suffering of others where we are. Disciples of Jesus Christ must get back to taking the gospel seriously. This is real, and this is now.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.